Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're here to talk about the issues that impact upon our lives in a positive way. Today, I will share the results of multiple peer-reviewed mainstream journals on how to prevent breast cancer, even if you are suspecting that you may get it because of conditions within the family or because of a gene expression. This is in direct response to Angelina Jolie's, what I consider, extreme mistake of acting on the breast cancer gene theory. Commentary from Sayer G. of Green Med Info, myself, and many others. Then my newsmaker guest will be Dr. Christine Northrup to address this. Then my main guest of the day, the psychological phenomena cravings and the reasons why we cannot seem to get enough of what we're craving. And that is Dr. Omar Manjawala. He's a nationally recognized expert in addiction and addiction psychiatry and the psychological phenomena of craving. He integrates neurobiological sciences with integrative behavioral practices such as somatic therapy to promote transformative change in patients. So we'll talk with him at length. I don't know what else we'll have time for today. I have a lot to share, but that's a lot. Let's begin. Researchers from Harvard Medical School pulled the results of 8 important studies that measured carotenoid levels in women's blood. And together these studies, which included 3,000 women with cancer and nearly 4,000 healthy women used as control subjects, represents over 80% of the published data on how blood levels of carotenoids relate to the eventual development of breast cancer. The results published in the highly respected Journal of the National Cancer Institute show that those with the highest blood levels of individual carotenoids, like alpha and beta carotene and lutein and zeaxanthine and lycopene, and the highest levels of total carotenes, meaning the most juices, the most vegetables, colored vegetables, had a reduced risk of breast cancer compared to those with the lowest levels. This is an important determination because this represents a lot of studies. So one on the side of no matter what condition you have, you can improve it and prevent it with proper diet. Please keep in mind in all these studies, they didn't use the level that I would normally offer in one of the protocols that I would give someone that I'm counseling. They tend to be very conservative and give low-end measurements. Myth, breast cancer is not preventable. Truth, up to 90% of breast cancer cases can be prevented through diet, nutritional supplements, sunshine and exercise, and stress reduction. That represents the clear establishment of the scientific literature. Breast cancer can be almost entirely prevented through common sense changes in behavior, diet, and the addition of anti-cancer nutritional supplements and good levels of vitamin D from sunlight, also avoiding toxic chemicals that are so pervasive today. However, against that is the breast cancer industrial complex. This is an extension of the medical industrial complex. They control funding at major universities. They control the American Cancer Society. They have a great deal of influence in the media. And remember, that whole industry depends upon the continuation of cancer for its profits and its employment, self-interest. So they have far above more power, but they refuse to teach women even basic cancer prevention strategies, such as increasing the intake of vitamin D, which prevents approximately 77% of all cancers. Myth, the only proven treatments for breast cancer are chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. Reality. Chemotherapy doesn't work, and radiation causes cancer. It is my opinion, having studied this extensively, having written the very first articles on the politics of cancer in a national magazine in American history, the politics of cancer, and going up against the monoliths within the cancer establishment, having gotten the first people national prominence on 2020 with Geraldo Rivera and an Emmy Award-winning special and Dr. Stanislav Brzezinski and Dr. Lawrence Burton on 60 Minutes, that show that there are therapies that do work, but these are being actively and intentionally suppressed by the medical industrial complex because they're inexpensive and they're natural, non-toxic, cannot be patented. But when I interviewed a Professor Abel, who wrote the most definitive review in the history of science ever, over 3,000 studies that he looked at from all the major cancer centers, and he found that when it came to chemotherapy, it simply didn't work for 80% of all cancers, the organic cancers, brain, prostate, pancreas, breast, ovarian, stomach, lung, didn't work. So then I ask, why are all these oncologists using a therapy that they should know doesn't work? He said, their belief. I said, in what way? He said, they want to believe that it works because their ego could not accept the fact that here they are esteemed, educated, disciplined, acknowledged for all the commitment they made, and now to have to tell their patients, this therapy is as likely to kill you on rebound as it is to help you in the short term, and it's killing a lot of healthy cells in the process. So, where does that leave us? It leaves us in bad shape, but they're not explaining this to people, and they should. He said if the cancer establishment looked at its own studies, they would clearly tell you that their therapies for most cancers, 80% of cancers, don't work. And if they survive the therapy, it's because their body's innate immune system allowed them to survive, not the therapy. But the therapy gets 100% of the credit. But it's extremely lucrative. Now, I had this conversation with him when I was doing my whole series. I also had whistleblowers inside the cancer establishment talking about how much money they make and that it was considered a sacred cow. No one in the media would challenge the cancer establishment. But the truth is, chemotherapy simply doesn't work in the vast majority of cases, and radiation absolutely does cause cancer. Many people believe chemotherapy for many cancers is a fraud, plain and simple. It is a poisoning of the patient with mercury and calling it medicine, which is sometimes something doctors did hundreds of years ago. There's absolutely no reliable scientific evidence showing that chemotherapy has any positive effects whatsoever on breast cancer, and they have no double-blind placebo-controlled studies to prove it against. Try to find the science for yourself. It does not exist. Yes, there is evidence that chemotherapy shrinks tumors. Yes, lots of it. Well, what is the other side of that? The tumor size is irrelevant to overall survival, and look at the correlation to a positive outcome. Artificially reducing the size of a tumor does nothing to reverse the physiological condition of cancer in a patient's body. It doesn't initiate the healing that needs to take place to reverse cancer and stay cancer-free. And this doesn't even take into account the quality of life issues. And also, how many people have had their cancer shrunk, John Wayne, so that there was no cancer but later came back and there was no immune system left to help it and dies of cancer. The phenomena being called cured, 5-year survival, and dying of cancer shortly thereafter. Myth, BRCA, positive women should consider mastectomies to prevent the cancer. This is a hard truth. Fruits and vegetables target BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, and that can help prevent cancer with quality nutrition. Women who are BRCA positive are being scared into utterly unnecessary double mastectomies, a procedure that benefits no one except the surgeons and the hospitals. What nobody is telling these women is that fruits and vegetables contain anti-cancer nutrients that specifically target BRCA1 and 2 genes, protecting these women from breast cancer. These foods should be organically grown because pesticides on conventionally grown fruits and vegetables can cause cancer cells to form. Cancer doctors aren't taught preventable techniques in medical school, and for reasons that none of us have been made clear on. Some conventional doctors refuse to tell women about scientific evidence concerning cancer prevention. If women could prevent breast cancer with healthy lifestyle practices, why would they need cancer doctors? And one more myth. If my mother had breast cancer, I'll get it too. A big truth. Breast cancer is not caused by bad genes. It's caused by unhealthy diets and lack of sleep and lack of exercise and a great deal of damaging stress and too much bra wearing and the invasiveness of electromagnetic pulses and unnecessary x-rays and cell phones and chemicals in our diet and processed foods and hot dogs and hamburgers and pizzas and french fries and barbecued ribs and deep fried chicken. Those cause cancer. The myth is another common lie told to women by cancer doctors to scare them into medically unnecessary cancer treatment. Did you know that radiation treatment for one breast actually causes cancerous cells to form in the other breast? Your genes have very little to do with your health outcome. What you put into your mouth and how you live your life is what determines the quality of life. If your parents had cancer, they were no doubt eating too many cancer-causing foods and not enough anti-cancer foods and not taking worthwhile supplements. When I grew up, my house was filled with smoke because my older brother, my mother and father, all my aunts and uncles all smoked constantly, 3-4 packs a day. And they drank all the time. And they never exercised, and they never took a supplement, and they didn't have a healthy diet. So gee whiz, that is what caused their cancer and heart disease and diabetes and early deaths, not their genes. Household cleaning agents, perfume chemicals, unhealthy drinking and bathing water, pesticides, skincare products, conventional cosmetics, these contain a lot of cancer-causing agents. But then when have we been told about natural therapies? And they'll say, well, they don't exist. Really? University of California, San Diego, published in the respected peer-reviewed journal Nature. In fact, it's the most respected scientific journal in the world. They have discovered a molecule called RNKL found in aggressive cancer cells that predicts more deadly, lethal, and life-threatening disease. The findings from these recent studies suggest that drugs that block this may be effective in preventing both the early stages of breast cancer and the advanced progression of the breast cancer. Research now has shown that curcumin, the active ingredient in the common spice turmeric, has properties that also reduce the expression of these deadly molecules within cancer cells and can potentially slow the spread of breast cancer. This new research demonstrates that when a protein molecule called RNKL, receptor activated nuclear factor kappa lignin, is present in breast cancer cells in high amounts, these tumor cells are more activated, more aggressive, more likely to spread, more likely to kill. Well, this RNKL is produced by a regulatory C cells that modulate our immune system. And high levels of these T cells means high levels of RNKL, high levels of inflammation and aggressive disease. Professor of the Department of Experimental Therapeutics, Division of Cancer Medicine, the University of Texas, MD Anderson Cancer Center, is one of the most respected researchers and experts and has published so many articles on what? Curcumin and cancer. According to Dr. Agarwal, curcumin has been shown to decrease RNKL in tumor cells. Curcumin can block RNKL as well as other inflammatory and tumor-promoting molecules in cells. including COX-2, LOX-2, MMP-2, tumor necrosis factor alpha, NFKB, EGFR, etc. Turmeric is found in many herbal formulas for treatment. That's just one example of one story. And I have a lot more studies. I have dozens. Quote, breast cancer cells can revert to normal without drugs. University of California, Berkeley, Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, that malignant mammary cells, meaning breast cells, can be guided back into a normal growth pattern without using chemicals or drugs. The findings, which the researchers recently announced at the annual meeting of the American Society for Cell Biology in San Francisco, reveal for the first time that mechanical forces alone can revert and stop cancer cells from growing out of control. What's more, the cancer cells can return to normal even though the genetic mutations responsible for triggering the malignancy in the first place don't go away. So what do the researchers do to make cancer cells return to normal? They literally put the squeeze on them. Specifically, they show that mechanical pressure exerted on cancer cells made them appear to be normal, healthy cells. Again, went on. There's others. University of North Carolina, Gilling School of Global Public Health in Chapel Hill published an article in the peer-reviewed journal Cancer that found that physical activity, either mild or intense, and before and after menopause, can reduce breast cancer risk. All right, and so many more. Green vegetables proven to protect against breast cell. A Chinese study presented at the 103rd annual meeting just recently of the American Association for Cancer Research revealed that the more cruciferous vegetables women with breast cancer eat, the more likely they are not only to survive their condition, but also to add more years onto their lives. This was the Shanghai Breast Cancer Survival Study. Separately, scientists studying natural compounds and plants are finding many offer some protection against breast cancer. The journal Breast Cancer Research, quote, scientists from Sweden's prestigious Karolinska Institute present compelling evidence that something in coffee beans slashes the risk of breast cancer. And there is a great deal more. From Dr. Joseph McCullough, breast cancer will claim 40,000 people this year in the United States. And here are some of the ways that you could slash it by 50%, and including going to anti-inflammatory programs and consuming juices and nutrients that are known to turn off inflammation inside the body and inside there, and also using thermography, cancer's best kept secret, instead of mammography, and enhance liver function with curcumin. Curcumin inhibits the proliferation of tumor cells, inhibits the transformation of cells from normal to tumor, helps your body destroy mutated cells that are cancer so they cannot spread, decrease inflammation, inhibit the synthesis of a protein thought to be instrumental in tumor formation, and prevent the development of additional blood supply necessary for cancer cell growth. That's just curcumin. But there are other nutrients as well that can do something. And you've got to get off the alcohol. Alcohol is pro-cancer. And drink a quart minimal or more of organic green vegetable juice every day. And improve your insulin receptor sensitivity and avoid meats. Those are some of the things that easily can be done that are not being done. And a few more things before we go to our newsmaker guest here. From the peer-reviewed literature, again, from the Asian Pacific Journal of Cancer Prevention, this study showed that nutrients can impact breast cancer patients versus controls. Vitamin C and E and selenium were able to lower the breast cancer risk by 84%. From the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, this study, sponsored by the National Institutes of Health, was a vitamin C study. High-dose vitamin C administered to 10 cancer patients and 4 normal human cell types selectively killed 5 of the cancer lines. and had no negative effect on normal cells. Cancer cell death was absolutely dependent upon the formation of hydrogen peroxide, a chemical that can kill cancer cells. Therefore, intravenous vitamin C, quote, and I'm quoting, may be pharmacological prodrug for the formation of hydrogen peroxide. From Cancer, Nutrition, and Survival, talks about vitamin C in cancer. And one final one here, this is about intravenous administration of vitamin C as cancer therapy, case studies in the CMA journal, peer review journal, and accordance to the National Cancer Institute's protocols, and they were given high doses of vitamin C intravenous and had substantial improvement on cancer, including breast cancer. So those are some of the things that we are not looking at, and we should be. Now, a final little commentary on this to put this all into proper perspective. And by the way, there's also a good source from Comprehensive Cancer Center, University of Alabama, Department of Pharmacology and Toxicology. Title of the article, and this was also published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, Protection Against Breast Cancer with Genistein, a Component of Soy. The abstract and the conclusion is that the breast cancer protection in Asian women consuming a traditional soy-containing diet is derived from early exposure to soybean products containing genistein. We believe that early events are essential for the benefits of cancer protection. And Jack Chalem has authored a long article, all fully referenced, entitled Improving the Prognosis for Breast Cancer Survival. Dangerous DNA damage can be prevented with vitamin citrus and soy. And he goes on to say about women who express the BRCA1, BRCA2, and what they can do about it so that even if they have the gene, it will not manifest into cancer, and then shows the actual science of vitamin E, vitamin C, the anti-tumor vitamin, which is vitamin E. Quote, there is more good news about vitamin E in breast cancer. A common type of vitamin E supplement known as vitamin E succinate has been shown in cell-cultured studies and animal experiments to inhibit the growth of various types of cancer. And then he goes on to talk about citrus and genistein lowering breast cancer risk. And all of this is fully referenced. There's over 75 scientific references in the back. And finally, just some common sense. Angelina Jolie's recent announcement in the New York Times op-ed that she had a prophylactic double mastectomy due to her BRCA1 and BRCA2 status, according to Sayer G, has disturbing implications. Now, why? Because some of which we have dealt with on this program many times. Remember last year, Ellen Rose, a 24-year-old Miss America contestant who announced she would be undergoing a double mastectomy to prevent breast cancer? Beyond the fact that a high-profile celebrity will end up doing this, do they take into account how many millions of women's perception of the procedure will become more accepting because one of their heroes, one of their idols is doing it? Their decisions also reflect profound misconception about gene-mediated disease risk embedded deeply within molecular consciousness. First, there's a common misconception about the role of the so-called breast cancer susceptibility genes, BRCA1 and BRCA2, playing in breast cancer disease risk and prognosis. The BRCA mutations vary widely by ethnicity and are exceedingly rare in the general population, which is why, as NBCNews.com recently reported, quote, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends that only women with a strong family history even think about getting a BRCA genetic test, which is only 2% of U.S. women. But even in those in which BRCA mutation is identified, the genes and in themselves do not make the disease. Despite the commonplace refusal of so-called evidence-based medicine to acknowledge the actual evidence of genetics, we moved into a post-genomic era over a decade ago following the completion of the first draft of the entire human genome in 2000. At that moment, the central dogma of molecular biology that our DNA controls protein expression and therefore disease risk was completely, totally disproved. It was gutter science. Our genome was found to contain roughly 20,000 genetic instructions, not even enough to account for the 100,000 proteins in the human body. As a result, we must now accept that factors beyond the control of the gene, known as epigenetic factors and largely determined by a combination of nutrition and psycho-spiritual states that feed back into our physiology, lifestyle factors, and environmental exposure, constitute as high as 95% of what determines any risk of any disease. In fact, even the psychological trauma associated with being diagnosed with cancer can drive malignancy via adrenaline-mediated multi-drug resistance, and according to a New England Journal of Medicine study, led to a 2,600-fold percent increase in the risk of heart-related deaths in 7 days following a diagnosis. Meaning, you get a diagnosis of breast cancer, even the breast cancer gene, you have a 2,600% more likelihood of dying of a heart attack because of the stress of that. Well, given this fact, Jolie's decision to have a bilateral mastectomy in order to excise from her body the breast tissue that contains BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which are known to interfere with the repair of radiation-induced DNA damage, rather than focusing on reducing or eliminating all future radiation exposure from her breast or incorporating hundreds of nutritional components confirmed to protect against radiation and associated genotoxic results to the breast, reflects an ironclad faith in the inevitability of gene-driven cancer vis-a-vis the fundamentally powerless subject versus trust in the body's ability. Another common misconception is that you either have or don't have the BRCA genes, as if they were monolithic entities ascertained with the black and white certainty of a pregnancy test. It is a little known fact that thousands of mutations in the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes have already been identified and characterized on a molecular level, adding much more complexity to the picture than the present level of medical knowledge can claim to convert into compelling statistical risk calculations. These mutations are technically known as gene polymorphisms, which are naturally occurring variations of a gene present in more than 1% of the population. It'll come to many as a surprise to learn that some of these so-called mutations actually reduce the risk of breast cancer. BRCA1 variation K1183R is related inversely to cancer risk, leading the authors to a review on the topic entitled "The Case Against BRCA1 and 2 Testing." It concludes, quote, "It seems that some polymorphisms may actually have a protective effect." End quote. Moreover, research exists showing that BRCA2 mutations carriers and non-carriers have similar breast cancer-specific rates of breast cancer-specific death, and that although BRCA-positive patients have more frequent negative prognostic factors, their prognosis appears to be equal or better than the patients with normal, also known as wild-type BRCA. Another concerning blind spot in the framing of Jolie's decision is that approximately 70,000 breast cancers are misdiagnosed by the vast breast cancer awareness and treatment complex each year. These are not just so-called zero-stage breast cancers, such as ductal carcinoma in situ, which arguably should be reclassified as non-cancerous normal variations of breast morphology, but 50% are known as early-stage invasive breast tumors, according to New England Journal of Medicine. How many of these women, having received a mammogram, detected diagnosis of breast cancer, and then a follow-up BRCA test, believe the gene must have therefore caused the cancer? The popularization of this crude and vulgar way of understanding nature, sometimes self-limiting variations in breast cancer morphology and as cases of breast cancer, is itself a malignancy that should be prevented and treated with healthy doses of the very evidence that the so-called evidence-based medical system claims to possess as a differentiating factor for them, more ancient plant and nutrition-based nutrition is available. Last November, an article published in the New England Journal of Medicine found that 1.3 million U.S. women were overdosed and overtreated and overdiagnosed. for so-called breast cancer in the past 30 years. These were screen-detected abnormal breast findings that would never have progressed to cause harm in the women in which they were diagnosed. These women, while essentially iatrogenic victims of medicine, being given standard treatment options, including mastectomy, lumpectomy, radiation, chemotherapy, were considered statistically as survivors whose lives were saved by the medical establishment. And these cases further inflated the statistics to make it appear that conventional treatment interventions are far more effective than they actually are. Given these facts, Jolie's decision conceals a dark side that she, like millions of other American women, are completely unaware of. For example, look at the soaring stock response of Myriad Genetics, a patent holders of the human genome BRCA1 and 2, soon after Jolie's announcement in this Yahoo Finance article published today. Myriad Genetics shares climb after Angelina Jolie's mastectomy. The Utah-based company, contrary to popular opinion, owns patents on your BRCA genes. And not only that, as a recent Slate article explains, quote, Myriad Genetics claims to own the rights to any tests for the presence of the two critical genes associated with breast cancer, and it has ruthlessly enforced that right, though their test is inferior to one that Yale University was willing to provide at much lower cost. Well, given the fact that powerful profit-driven corporations stand to reap profound financial benefits from the propagation of an oversimplified gene-driven theory of breast cancer susceptibility, we must be cautious in jumping on the mainstream media medical bandwagon by viewing Jolie's increasingly popular decision uncritically. Consider also that women who undergo these mastectomies often opt for breast implants, which themselves have been linked to cancer. In fact, there's an article in Planted, the myth of a cancer-free breast implant, which only recently showed the link between more aggressive breast cancer, the lower breast cancer survival when you have these implants. What we need in America today is the truth, especially about breast cancer, and we're not getting it. And also, to Mrs. Jolie, you have a right to do with your body what you choose. I believe in freedom of choice. But do you realize also that everything else you do in your life, the smoking, the drinking, the bad foods, the stress, the fluctuations in weight, do you realize all that causes cancer? So irony of ironies, you can have your healthy, completely healthy, normal breasts removed, but that doesn't prevent other cancers from occurring in your lung, your brain, your stomach, your ovaries. Unfortunately, there will be a lot of women who follow in your footsteps. I'm Gary Nall. Let's say hello to Dr. Northrup, who is standing by. I gave the bio on you a little earlier. Nice to have you with us. Dr. Christina Northrup is a board-certified OBGYN physician and is an author. She helps on women's issues. She graduated from Dartmouth Medical School, took her residency at Tufts University and New England Medical Center, and also Maine's Medical Center for 20 years. She's the author of several best-selling books, including Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdoms, and Women in Menopause. And her most recent one is the children's book, Beautiful Girl. Nice to have you with us today.
What a pleasure to hear you talking about this issue with Ms. Jolie. I, like you, agree that everyone has a right to whatever they choose to do with their bodies. And if your conventional doctor tells you you have an 87% risk of breast cancer and you don't know anything about what you just talked about and which I've spent my whole life teaching, then her decision makes absolute sense. Let's just talk about the fact that her particular genetic situation, even if we're not talking about how genes get expressed, and you're absolutely right, we now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that epigenetic factors are what actually determines how a gene is expressed. So therefore, Michael Hollick and many other people have shown, for instance, that you will get a 50% reduction in all cancer risk, including breast cancer risk, if you get your vitamin D levels into the optimal range. That's 40 to 80 nanograms per ml, and that'll take 3,000 to 5,000 international units of vitamin D per day. This kind of information is just beginning to get into the medical mainstream. So that's for all women. You can do that right now. Get your vitamin D level tested and see if you're in the optimal range. And by the way, the lab will say, you know, you have to ask, what is the number? Because they'll tell you you're okay, which means you have enough vitamin D to prevent rickets. But we're talking about optimal ranges here, optimal protective ranges. Angelina Jolie's situation is so, so rare. And as you pointed out, Gary, Gilbert Welch's article in the New England Journal of Medicine earlier this year, and I've known Gilbert, followed him for years, points out that 1.3 million women between 1980 and now have been overdiagnosed and overtreated for cancers that they would possibly die with but never die from. And when you get radiation to your breast, which many women with ductal carcinoma in situ get, that dramatically increases your risk of coronary heart disease. Your statistic on the fact that getting the diagnosis of breast cancer increases the rate of heart attack makes complete sense to me. And the Jolie situation, what it's doing here, unfortunately, because she is an icon of female beauty, has the right guy, has the right life, women will uncritically look at her approach to breast cancer prevention by removing breasts, and they will not understand the nuances of this. Another article was published, and again, these do not get very wide publicity because of Big Pharma and the rest. This was from the Archives of Internal Medicine, and it showed they followed 200,000 Norwegian women between the ages of 50 and 64 over two consecutive six-year periods. Half received regular periodic breast exams or regular mammograms. The others had no regular breast screenings. The study reported that those women receiving regular screenings had a 22% increase in breast cancer just because the screenings showed things that then were treated in the conventional way and so on. The authors said chances are good that what happened in the others is they might have had exactly the same incidence of things we pick up on screening, but that the body healed those early cancers. We truly, truly, truly do not, we have a very limited knowledge of epigenetics. People have been led to believe, and I like that you called it gutter science because it is that, they've been led to believe that if you have the gene, you inevitably get the disease. All chronic degenerative diseases, and that includes cancer and heart disease, diabetes, those are the things that are killing everybody. They all have epigenetic factors, and as you said about your family, they smoked, they drank, they didn't exercise, they didn't take supplements, and then they say that it was their genes. My sister just drove across the country. There was a billboard, and it said, obesity is a disease, not a decision. Obesity is a disease, not a decision. Can you imagine? Tell that to the people who've lost 50, 60 pounds, changed their lifestyle, and therefore reduced their risk of dying young. The whole flap around the Angelina Jolie decision is unfortunately going to get women in this huge state of anxiety. And as you said, anxiety itself is a risk for premature death, and it's no way to live. So Ms. Jolie has the right to do what she did, and I completely understand it. The problem is that when you are a celebrity of that fame, she is a world citizen, your decisions influence unduly other people, and you have to take some responsibility for that. Her decision is fine. The article that she wrote, the op-ed piece, beautifully written. Everyone can understand it. What you and I want women to know is there are so many other choices fully backed by science. Just the vitamin D thing alone, or the New England Journal thing alone makes so much sense to me. And having been at the front, on the front lines of women's health for so many years, I can tell you that women are tortured. They're tortured by this conventional approach. I had a patient once who said to me, "Thank God I finally have breast cancer. I have been worrying about it my whole life." That is no way to live. You can be proactive, and we are here on the planet to enjoy life. We're all going to die. But having near-life experiences by constantly worrying and then thinking that the cure is to cut off body organs, I mean, really, at the rate we're going in standard American medicine, I think we really should just do prophylactic mastectomies the minute a little girl starts her breastfeeding. Because that's kind of how we approach prevention, just cutting it off. It's sort of like pulling all the teeth to prevent tooth decay. So thank you for illuminating this issue for everyone.
Let me explain one of the reasons I'm impassioned by this effort. I went in to interview a man named G. Cogdon Woods, who was the head of the American Cancer Society's Unproven Methods of Cancer Management office. It was he had a book there, and if your name was in the book, you were considered a quack. So I asked him, I said, "Mr. Woods, I have six individuals here who are in your book. What is the criteria that you determine get you in the book?" And then he went through, well, they don't have a legitimate medical degree, they haven't published in peer-reviewed literature, they haven't been invited before scientific bodies to share their points of view, they have secret cures, they charge great amounts of money, and these are the things he went through. I said, okay, fair enough. But none of these individuals meet their qualifications. They're all regular medical doctors. They are specialists. They have published in peer-reviewed literature. They have been funded by the government, including the Damon Runyon Fund and U.S. Public Health Service. One has published over 160 articles. One's an MD, PhD with honors. None of them have secrets. None of them are wealthy. Many of them do compassion healing, in fact. So how then are they in your... And he was stymied. And he said, well, you know, read this article. And it was from a tabloid in Europe. I said, allowing a National Enquirer-like tabloid to determine the basis of including someone in there? So I walked out of there, and then I went down and I spoke with some people at the FDA, and they told me, oh, you know, you don't want to go down to any Mexican clinic. They're just dirt-floored hovels with people who have no medical background, and they'll rip people off. So my first trip was to Germany. And mind you, I did this all unannounced with a camera crew. I went and flew into Munich, and I drove out to Tegernsee Lake, and there was this old chateau. And it didn't look like a hospital. It looked like someone's private estate. It was not populated. It was, in fact, I didn't even find anyone for the first 20 minutes, not even at the reception. And there, it was only three stories high, and on the third floor, I found this guy in the room putting on some running shoes, and I said, "Is this Dr. Issel's place?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Where's everyone at?" He's up on the mountain. I said, "Which mountain?" He's behind us here. I said, "Well, isn't this supposed to be where terminal cancer patients are?" He said, "Yeah, we're all terminal." "You're terminal?" He said, "Yeah, I'm terminal." I said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, you know, we come terminal, but we don't stay terminal. So just come with me." So I go outside with this guy, and he's a dentist from Chicago. So we climb about 500 feet up this path, and up there on the path was a plateau, a grassy plateau, and there were about 60 people, and he was just finishing taking everyone's blood. And then I was standing in the back, and then he said, "All right, I want you all to sit on the grass, and I want you to visualize this." And he's this tall man with long white hair going down to his shoulder. He looked like a lion. And he said, "Visualize that you are on this beautiful giant horse, and you have this long sword, and you draw your sword, and you're going to gallop slowly and then faster into the valley of death. And in front of you are millions of cancer cells. But you will end this day alive and well. And with that, he put on the overture of 1812. And I was standing right beside one of the speakers, and suddenly booming out over the lake and the mountains was the overture of 1812 for 12 minutes. And I'm watching the people, and I could actually see their bodies, you know, their heads and their shoulders, they're moving. And then at the end of this, he took their blood again. And then they had their lunch, and their lunch was organic juices and organic salads and fermented foods and enzyme drinks. And then later I met him, and he says, take a look at this. He said, this is their natural killer cell, their actual cancer killer cell ability before the meditation. Here it is afterwards. 180% increase in 12 minutes. He said, that's why you must engage the mind, the beliefs, the power. And then he took out all infected areas, teeth, and he went after local infections. Well, it turns out he had 55,000 patient files meticulously done. There were scientists there studying his work. But one of the women I met there had been there for 4 months, and her husband is a leading cancer doctor. One of her sons is a cancer doctor, and when she developed stage 4 breast cancer, the husband and the family got together, and they said that they were going to take a cruise together for however long she lived, a month or 2 months or 3 months, and end their life that way. And she heard about Dr. Issels, and she went there. They were all angry at her. You know, you're going to see some quack. Well, now she had no breast cancer. It had reversed, and she was staying there because the quality of the experience was so great, and she was helping other women. Think of that. Now, I came back, and I was determined to let the world know about Joseph Issels, and I wrote a cover story for a major national magazine, and then I said, well, that was Dr. Issels, but then I found all these other doctors reversing cancer, and that's the story that is not being told. We're not telling the truth about cancer, either its cause or its prevention. Instead, we're scaring people to death with genes that could or could not cause cancer. There's no hard proof of it. It's all speculative. It's all based upon mathematical models, not clinical experience.
That's right.
And yet, instead of telling people what we know could prevent cancer, instead we have programs on radio and television that promote massive overeating and cancer-producing foods. Your thoughts?
My thoughts, precisely. I've been on the forefront of this field for years. I knew old Carl Simonton, the radiologist who years ago had people doing the visualizations, and he found spontaneous, I love that we call them spontaneous remissions, right? Like we didn't know what happened. And he did also that work on natural killer T cells and so on. We know from the literature on near-death experience that people will often, Anita Morjani's case is beautiful. She wrote Dying to Be Me. And when she died, and she clinically was pronounced dead, she had metastatic lymphoma with tumors the size of lemons throughout her body. And she then had this near-death experience where she realized, actually, that it was fear that was at the base of her entire cancer experience. She came back, decided to, whatever the soul decides, comes back. And, of course, it's been healthy ever since. Her tumors just melted away. And her case is so well documented, but there are so many of those cases. Brendan O'Reilly did a huge amount of study of this at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. It's as though what you and I are talking about just can never make it into the mainstream media. And then they say things like, this is quackery, it's unproven, it's not scientific. Someone just wrote an article about a blog about, they included me, they included other holistic docs, Bernie Siegel and so on, and they said that I made diagnosis with tarot cards. It's unbelievable. And the only way that I can sleep at night, actually, because I've been in this for so long and I've watched it for so long, is a cosmology of realizing that we're here on Earth to learn something. It's a planet of duality, dark and light. The forces of light always win, and the forces of light, through the access that people have to the internet, are now winning. And as the light gets lighter, the dark gets darker. And so suddenly, when I feel like we're having some traction with the breast thing, with thermography, with the data on vitamin D, with Gil Welch's article in the New England Journal of Medicine, women are finally realizing, hey, wait a minute, then boom, looks like the dark forces need more to eat, so we get the Angelina Jolie story. Who knows? I just know that so many celebrities do not seem to have access to this alternative, and it shouldn't be the alternative world. This should be the first thing you do. Look at, the wonderful story of Chris Carr. I'm sure you've had her on your show. Her type of metastatic cancer is so rare that they didn't have a treatment for it. So Chris Carr, who wrote Crazy Sexy Cancer and has a whole now lifestyle business, Crazy Sexy Life, still has cancer throughout her body. She's living beautifully. She drinks a quart of the green organic juices per day. She lives this lifestyle, and her tumors never grow. As she says, she's on a short leash. They don't go away, but they haven't grown, and it's been over 10 years. Now, the beauty of Chris is she's 40. She looks 25. Has an absolutely beautiful life, and it is by virtue of her choosing what is healthy, feeding herself healthy cells, and then the cancer does not grow.
Let me finish up our interview. We're coming at the end of the program. I was asked to come on Fox News to do a debate, and I showed up not knowing who I would debate or what the topic would be. Just show up and debate. So I said, fine. And here was a doctor with a woman, and her husband had tried an alternative cancer approach, and it did not work down in North Carolina. And I don't know who that would be. I don't know any in North Carolina doing that. But it had cost her, $42,000 or something like that. And so I listened to the case, and I said, well, there's several things here. First, you're not mentioning your husband had surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation first.
Right.
Okay? Then when that didn't work, then he tried the other therapy. That's very hard to work with. I said, but also, why aren't you talking about the 455,000 people that will be toe-tagged with a $200,000-plus bill this year who died using orthodox therapy? You mentioned one doctor who didn't get the survival your family wanted. But what about the almost 500,000 that die using only orthodox every year? Now, go over the last 10 years, that's over 5 million people died only using orthodoxy. Why is there no criticism of that? And now cancer doctors can actually sell chemotherapy. They're allowed to. It's not prevented. And several of them can make up to $200,000 or $300,000 a year in profit for themselves. Suddenly the cost of having a chemotherapy has skyrocketed. Why isn't that considered unethical? So I said, do you want me to go and find 10,000 people who have tried alternative therapy and including the most serious 1,000 cases that were terminal from Dr. Burton, Brzezinski, Livingston Wheeler, Rivisi, and Al-Qaeda? I can do that. Why don't you have any of them on this show? I said, so the next time you want to talk about something, please do your homework. And then today I see that, if you just have a chest pain and just go into a hospital to have your chest pain checked, all right? New York University, $16,600. Lenox Hill, $23,763. If you have fainted or you collapsed and you're taken to the hospital, just that. Lenox Hill, $28,488. New York University Presbyterian, $19,863. Mount Sinai, $19,721. New York University Langone Medical Center, $24,105. Beth Israel Medical Center, $24,481. For just fainting and collapsing and being taken to the hospital, Now, if you really get something done, like a joint replacement, well, that's $82,605. Okay, why is anyone concerned about fainting and being taken to the hospital and having to lay out $28,000 or having a chest pain and $23,000? So we're not even willing to look at the massive amount of profit made from the medical industrial complex. We're not questioning the doctor's fees, the drugs fees, the comparison of generic to a brand name, even if it's made by the same company that has as much as a 500,000% markup over the generic. We're not looking at the lobbyists. We're not looking at the buying of medical pedigrees for prestige firms to get the best doctors on board to go out and promote their wares. We're not talking about any of this. All we're talking about is don't go away from proven therapy, because then you end up in the hands of a nut job. And I'm saying, really? Then why don't you come on this program and show me the proof and show me the detailed expenses? Who got the $82,000 for a joint replacement? Who received $28,000 for taking someone to a hospital who had fainted? Who got that money? The standards we allow in the orthodoxy versus the standards in compassion are radically different. Thank you very much for coming on, Dr. Christina Northup, and sharing your insights.
Thank you.
We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Knoll. Now it's time for Talk Back. It is your time now that you can call in and share your points of view. Our number, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, your time. We'll take your calls now. Lou Ann Panessi's on the line. Lou Ann, you're first up.
Hello, Gary. Hi. Well, just to throw my two cents in here, many of your audience members know that I was diagnosed with precancerous lesions that they said they are going to be cancerous within the next few months, and I better have a bilateral mastectomy. Now, this was before the whole genome thing came out. They call it BRCA. It's just BRCA. It's breast cancer, breast cancer gene 1, breast cancer gene 2. And I, coming from conventional medicine and seeing what people go through when they, and I ran the oncology units at Long Island Jewish Medical Center in New York, and I didn't want to go through that. And that is actually what prompted me to start looking outside of my paradigm to say there's got to be something else out there. And that's how I came upon your work and the work of other phenomenal alternative practitioners, and thank goodness I did. But I will also say that, like Angelina Jolie, I did not have a healthy lifestyle. I mean, Angelina Jolie, you can see her in all her past appearances on TV. Half the time, she's stone drunk. She gives her kids sugary cereals and milk in the morning, and this is well known. So instead of changing her lifestyle, she's opting to quite simply just take off the breast as if that's going to do anything. Well, that's not going to prevent her from any disease, because when you have as much fibrosis in the liver as one has when they are, consistently using alcohol, you're not going to stay healthy. You're going to have immune issues. And I just want to mention something. Last night I saw a documentary on Annie Oakley. Now, most of us think of Annie Oakley as the sharpshooter and everything, and I didn't know this about her. Her reputation had been smeared because someone saw a call girl dressed up as her, and suddenly they told all the newspapers across the nation were saying that Annie Oakley was a whore and she had no money, and it kind of was smearing her entire reputation. And she actually spent 6 years suing every single newspaper for smearing her name. And she won all 53 cases. Actually, won 54. There was one that she didn't win. And even though she collected a lot of money for the money she put out for the travel and attorneys, she ended up actually losing money. But the idea is there are still people out there that stand up for what's important to them and will not have their reputation smeared. And I know that you are one of those people. And even though you may not have a huge majority, you've got 51 million people downloading all of your information. And I know that I get a lot of emails from your audience. And you and Dr. Northrup and others are really our role models and our heroes. So we will stand firm, and we will continue giving the information out, no matter who agrees or disagrees, because more and more people, Gary, I believe, are starting to pay attention and get on board.
It's 51 million downloads and not necessarily listeners. Thank you, Luann. I appreciate that. We'll take one quick call before we go to our next program, which is Utrice Lee. Let's say hello to Chris from Queens. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Gary. I just had to call in because I was listening to the subject today, and it really just I found this with Angelina Jolie deeply disturbing. You know, my sister died of breast cancer. And I just wanted to say it was disturbing, not because of her personal decision to do this. And let's not forget that she is a woman of means. She has millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't know how many chalets she owns. So, and I'm glad you mentioned the cost, because to whom is she speaking? The report that disturbed me so deeply was the media itself covering it and lauding her as a person with deep courage, and that she chose to come forward to speak to women regarding this issue and to advise them that they had serious decisions to make. I'm listening to this, and I thought I was really going loopy. It wasn't her decision. It was their commentary that disturbed me. So all of these years that women, that with all of this research regarding breast cancer, and by the way, as a woman, let me just say to everybody listening out there who's not a woman, that's a very personal place for us, and it's you define your femininity through that. It's not just cutting off a little lump that you have, you know. And with all of these years, the research, and we're offered dismemberment as a preventive measure, I'm glad that I listened to your program today, because I really felt that we live in this virtual psychotic world, that they would actually laud dismemberment and cutting off breasts when you don't even know whether you're ever really going to get the disease. I mean, it's not that she was diagnosed at all. And if I understand, please correct me if I'm wrong, this test for the so-called mutant gene is not even definitive.
That's correct. It's a mathematical model. There is no absolute hard proof that you will have this and that you will have cancer. But even if there was, I would still say, before you cut your breasts off, healthy breasts, let us make your body healthy, which would be the way to prevent cancer in the first place.
That's exactly right. And do we have the money? Is she talking to the regular working woman? How much does this cost, getting a breast implant? You know, I mean, it was so clear to me that it was almost, I'm sorry to say this, it's such a personal issue, it was almost like an advertisement. That's why I felt so deeply disturbed. And your guest that used the word dark forces, that's exactly what I picked up. It was almost like I thought to myself, did they just call her and tell her, here, advertise yourself, you know, we want to sell this breast removal for people who have millions and millions of dollars, but not the regular working person. So to whom would she be speaking?
She is speaking to all women. The trouble is, all women will now consider their options based upon fear.
Exactly.
And it's very sexist, because what do you think would happen if men were told, men, you may have a gene that may at some time in your life create cancer, so get your testicles removed, get your penis removed today.
I was going to say that. I didn't want to go there, but
okay.
That's exactly what I thought.
But we've medically objectified and pathologized women. We pathologized pregnancy, menopause, and children. So this is just one more way that they're exploiting the position of power over people. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Gary.
Let's say hello to Utrice Lee. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today it's Open Forum Day, where people's thoughts and opinions take center stage.
We look forward to it. Utrice Lee, right now. Please stay with us.